Welcome to the first episode of Cades to Consoles. This week, we're going to be talking about Nintendo consoles, arcade ports to the Nintendo systems. Now, arcade ports are something that everybody loves. We all want to play our favorite arcade games in our homes. Now, it might be super easy for you today. Okay, you go on Xbox Live Arcade, you go on the PlayStation Store, you download an Arcade Perfect. I mean, you have to play it with an Xbox controller, which is atrocious, but, you know, whatever. You download an Arcade Perfect version, you get one of those nice tank arcade sticks or whatever, plug it into your PS5 or PS4 if you're a normal person. But back in the day, wasn't always that easy. You had some good ports. You had some pretty bad ports.
Oh, yeah, some really bad ones.
I'm sure we'll get into some anti-Atari 2600 heresy here. I'm not hear any of that today.
I'm not going to participate in that.
No, of course not. Some of those might have been a little rough, though. But today, we're not talking about that. That might be on a future episode. Today, we're talking about Nintendo, mid-80s, NES, Super Nintendo, Game Boy.
The best.
Bringing your arcade games into the home. Of course, I think we have to start out with Mario Brothers. Not Super Mario Brothers, the original.
Yes.
Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, so
on the NES.
Well, we released in 83. What's Mario Brothers? 83 could be to the arcades.
Somewhere around there.
The Nintendo Entertainment, it was released on Atari and Nintendo Entertainment System as a port. We're not talking about Atari, we're talking about Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And according to a lot of people, and I kind of feel this about this game, it is actually very, very close to being arcade perfect on your Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah, I feel that you gotta look at it too. Is that it's a very, very simple game as well.
Yeah.
So I believe it came out. Mario Brothers came out very early in the life of the NES. I believe it was a black box. It was a black box because it was part of their arcade series.
Right. That they had DK3
in the black box releases. No, DK1.
And I think Donkey Kong Jr.
Donkey Kong Jr. may have been a black box, and Donkey Kong Jr. Math was a black box.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about that.
Mario Brothers was a black box.
I have DK3 as, like, I don't have the box, but it's black label, and it says, like, Arcade Classics or something like that.
Yes.
That was a later series,
A later series. Okay. The black boxes were the 20-something games.
Yeah, those were the original.
That they released originally.
I'm trying to remember some of the other black box games.
When NES first landed in
Golf?
In stores, basically.
Karate?
Back in 84, 85.
I don't know.
Golf was a black box. Baseball was a black box. Urban Champion was one.
I think it was Karate or Kung Fu.
Clue Land. Right.
Kung Fu.
Clue Land.
Gyromite.
That's one clue away from being a little
and
sus.
Balloon Fight was a black box.
Yep.
Balloon Fight based
was
on
Ice
jazz.
Climbers.
Ice Climber was a black box as well. Yeah, so all of those, I feel like, that were released in the arcade, quote-unquote, series of the black box editions from the arcade to your Nintendo Entertainment System, they were really, really close. Popeye is another one that was black box that's pretty rare to come by now.
Popeye was a black box.
Which one?
Popeye, I didn't know.
No, Popeye was a black box release. It was one of the original releases with Nintendo Entertainment System. Wild Gunman, Hogan's Alley, Duck Hunt. Mm. Which are really near arcade perfect when you kind of think about it and you play them. But Mario Brothers on lots of people's lists, as well as Popeye, rank up there in terms of very near arcade perfect on your home console, which was, as you said before, Chris, was very difficult
to do at that time. Yeah.
Well, you know? When these classic Nintendo games were ported over to, or classic arcade games were ported over to the Nintendo, for that matter, how were the prices for, like, the selling points? Was it, like, buying basically, like, any other new game that was available at that time? Or
were all the same price. I feel like maybe a new NES game, Nintendo Entertainment System at the time, they probably ran, like, $39.99 to $50. You know, $40 to $50, I feel was probably around the price.
I thought it would have been a little bit less. I mean, because with inflation, that's almost more expensive than the game now.
They could have been $34.99 as well, some of them, whatever. But I do recall,
rent them.
Saving my own money at that time and going in and buying an original Nintendo game was like, yeah, I really feel like it was around $40.
Damn.
Which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
1987 or 88, mm-hmm. whatever, and you're thinking about it.
That's when Blockbuster had to be booming because that would be fantastic.
Oh, Blockbuster was crazy late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. You rent it for $5. You know,
this is totally separate, but I just saw a post actually this morning. We're coming down to crunch time in the MLB season. Mets about to win the NL East, hopefully.
Let's go.
And I think I saw a post this morning, the last time the Philadelphia Phillies made the playoffs, there were still 1,800 national Blockbuster businesses.
Really?
Yes. That's crazy.
Which is not, I mean, if you think about it, I think it was like 2011, 2012, I think it was that the Phillies won like, I want to say back to back, or like Rollins, they won like, like two or three,
Ryan Howard,
two out of three World Series. So that's only maybe 10 years ago.
That's crazy to think about.
That's only 10 years ago. There were still 1,800 franchises.
It feels like Blockbuster has been done for 25 years.
It's crazy just how quickly like streaming. But anyway, that's a separate conversation.
Yeah, separate.
But I mean, that's a pretty good point to make.
Yeah, I mean, I used to get all my games from Blockbuster. Yeah.
Me too.
That was the last comment
I want to make.
I never rented games from Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah. Rent them and then you keep them.
Moving on to this list that we're using as kind of like a baseline for this episode, whatever. Some people mention Punch-Out as a near-perfect arcade port. And my argument is that it's actually, because it was rebranded for the NES as Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, I feel like it's a very different game.
It's different.
I think it's very different.
Well, it's not completely different, but it's different.
I feel like it's quite different. So I don't know I would consider it, oh, yeah, that's arcade perfect. I think it's a near-perfect game. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
The scale is different, too.
Yeah.
Looking at like how the graphics are when you're the boxer facing whoever you're fighting, it is a little bit different. It's not exactly the same.
It's not the same, but I mean, I don't know. From me personally, I think Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is way better than the arcade. I don't love the cabinet nearly as much as I love sitting there with the controller and my CRT.
And
it's just different.
I don't know if I agree with you on that or if I'm just kind of like baseline on that. Mm-hmm. Because, look, you're talking 84 Punch-Outs released to the arcades. It's game of the year that year by a lot of people's rankings in terms of the arcade game and the play. You got the dual screens. It's this big hulking cabinet. We love our cabinet. We love the approach of it. It's beautiful.
It looks beautiful.
It's a really cool looking cabinet.
It's a nice cab.
It's huge.
I feel like with the joystick, it plays very, very differently than your Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on your NES. Very, very different. I almost feel like it's a little bit more difficult to control.
No, it is. It 100%.
One could say the Punch-Out arcade was the predecessor to the Nintendo DS. The dual screen. Dual screen Nintendo.
Oh, you know.
It's a bold take.
He's got a point. I mean, it's a bold statement, but
hey,
you know.
That's where the correlation is.
They went Cade to console.
Yeah.
Handheld console, but it's still a console.
They made it into a console. They didn't port it.
Another one that people consider to be one of the best ports from the arcade to a NES system is with the release of Konami's Contra.
Greatest game
ever made.
Yeah. So I'm just going to show you guys screenplay of the arcade version.
Whoa. Wow.
It's funny. We were talking.
Jake is saying, whoa, wow, because Jake, to people who are listening, if anyone's ever listening, Jake actually didn't know that Contra was an arcade game first before, because he grew up exclusively on
generational NES. Gap, man.
Generational gap. But this is what it looks like in the arcade.
Crazy.
So the graphics are definitely.
Yeah, it does look slower.
Yeah.
Yes, but that is
honestly the graphics looks really good.
It looks.
I've never
looks
played
amazing,
the Contra arcade. I knew it existed, but this looks really solid.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks like. I mean, on consoles, it looks like a Super Nintendo.
It does. It looks like it could be a Super Nintendo.
Looks like Contra 3 or something.
We gotta realize also the tech is very different.
Yeah.
So they're downscaling everything.
I would love
a Contra arcade.
Isn't that cool?
We should get a Contra arcade.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, right now we're watching.
We should. I would love to get a Contra arcade.
I would play the crap out of that game.
Board sets are kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Mm. They're kind of, they're not that tough to come by, but you just have to be willing to part with a lot of money, you know, just for a board set itself, and then do all the work that we normally do on a cabinet, right, to build one, you know. Is it a desirable arcade game? Yeah, I think it is. I also think it's just, I also think it's a very desirable cart for your NES, too, because, yeah, I mean, listen, we all did the Konami code on it. We all still do the Konami code on it, and this is the game that kind of birthed that for a lot of people. But you guys can see the graphics look
solid,
way, way solid on the arcade version. But, you know, comparing it to the NES version is still one of the greatest games ever made.
I would
definitely
say
that.
It's visually beautiful on both. Oh, yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we're looking at the, like, the pseudo behind the back third person, like,
yeah, second level,
of the,
second level
of the arcade, and holy crap, it's great. This is so beautiful. I can't believe that
and
this is
Contra. This is the waterfall.
Oh, yeah.
So see how the water just, like, looks very, very different in the background than it does on your NES?
With a little less headache.
Typically playing, you know?
We were just discussing earlier, it is New York Comic Con next week, which we will all be attending. And Seamus was just mentioning how one of his favorite vendors... You know, a few vendors there are the guys that do homebrews. I feel like the homebrews that they do, that we find, are almost entirely influenced by Contra. They almost play, like, the platform style plays so similar to Contra.
I agree with you.
I think it's
a lot of them play like Contra, and then the other half of them play like Castlevania.
Yes.
Well, I'm interested.
You're either playing like Contra on your PS4, or you're playing like a ripped-off version of Castlevania or a Metroidvania game, you know?
Like Aria,
moving on from Contra, even though I don't want to, another one on the list apparently for from arcade to your NES consoles is Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble is a great game.
Bubble Bobble's phenomenal.
It's Bubble
Bobble. It's a little bit of a pain in the ass, but it's a good one.
Can't say I played this one.
Bubble Bobble?
You ever play Bubble Bobble?
It's a good one.
I've never played
it. It was
the
arcade Taito, right?
Yeah, I think so. Taito.
And then were the continuations published in Neo Geo cabinets only? I feel like
maybe.
Yeah, I feel like you had Bubble Bobble or Puzzle Bobble or something, some Bobble something on Neo Geos a lot.
Yeah, there were also those puzzle games that the Neo Geo had that was called like Magical Drop or something like that, which I feel like some of them had Bobble in the name for some reason.
And again,
in the
Bubble
US anyway.
Bubble Bobble is an arcade game. Originally, going back to previous episodes that we talked about, you know, your Centipede and your Millipede, Bubble Bobble was designed to attract female players in the mid 80s to the arcade.
Yes, I know Puzzle Bobble.
You know,
I have played
super,
Puzzle Bobble.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Super colorful design. You got two cute little dragons. Bub and Bob that you play as.
Bub and Bob.
And it is a puzzle game, technically, puzzle bubble game, and very, very simple and easy to pick up, as we always say, which is really leads to the success of a game. Ported in 86, later in 86, to Nintendo, and apparently they really didn't change anything for the Nintendo version, so that's why it's this near perfect port from the arcade version to your NES.
One thing I will say, I don't know how glitchy like the cabinet is, but my port at home could just be a dirty copy. I don't know. But man, oh man, past level like 60, every single level is glitching beyond belief.
NES version is...
Yeah, you like can't see half the screen.
Is known for that. I don't think... Because I think it has 100 levels. I don't think you can get past... I think once you get even past 75, it's unplayable.
Yeah.
Like it just
I beat it.
Like, oh, did you? Okay.
I did beat the game with hope, but it's so hard to play just because of playability.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I have heard that. I don't know why that is, but because I don't think the arcade is like that.
No.
Another great game that I remember fondly that we used to have in the collection, we do not any longer, Marble Madness.
Oh, yeah, that
Hell
game
yeah.
was fun.
And,
now, this was on the NES?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Originally in the arcades, we had the arcade version Chris, you would be very excited on the approach to this cabinet because it's a dual trackball.
Trackball? Two trackballs. One for each hand.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's this phenomenal 3D game where you're basically just, you're playing as a marble, you know, going through this three-dimensional depth maze. I don't know, Sean, if this is an isometric view or not. I mean,
it's sort of like
an isometric 3D.
It's isometric.
Yeah.
No, it definitely
it's very, it might not be purely isometric. It might be like slightly off to the side.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot, the way that the levels are stylized reminds me a lot of like Crystal Castles.
Yes. Definitely.
But it's, it's for the most part, it's isometric. It's an isometric style view. Yeah. So
it did very well in arcades in 84. And then a couple of years later, the lovely Tengen does the conversion to the NES. Now,
does that mean it's in one of those black Tengen?
No, actually, it's not.
I actually recently picked it up at our last convention.
They handle the conversion, but I want to say Milton Bradley publishes it on the NES. If somebody could look that up,
that sounds right.
I want to say Milton Bradley, the board game company.
That really does sound familiar, handles the publishing,
which is, you know, another one of those things where everyone's trying to get on the video game craze, right?
Yeah.
Especially on the NES craze, right? Now, the only problem with the conversion of it to the NES is now I remember specifically when I believe it was whoever converted Arkanoid to the NES, when you went and you bought Arkanoid for your NES, it came with a separate controller.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it came with a rotary dial controller.
Trackball.
So
the rotary dial.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen them before.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It was super cool. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Tengen doesn't want to do this. Milton Bradley doesn't want to do this.
They put a light dimmer switch on the stick, and how you controlled it
and why it kind of is kind of wonky is you used a D-pad only.
So
it's kind of strange when you're just using the D-pad, it's weird.
It's weird, but I played this this game like no joke last night. So it is so weird but responsive to the D-pad, where you'd think that'd be super sticky and slow, but no. If you like, if you're touching and you're trying to turn on a dime, you could do it. Okay. But it's just, it's no trackball. You know, it controls for as good as it possibly can, like.
But
for
it's
a
no
D-pad,
trackball.
But it's no trackball.
Okay, that I mean, that's a shame.
It's a shame when there's no.
It's a shame there's no trackball.
So
especially when you're going from 2 to 0.
Next game up on this, you know, baseline list is what I think is probably one of the greatest games of all time.
Rampage is fantastic.
Rampage is amazing.
I have never heard of Rampage.
The NES port.
What?
What?
I've never heard of Rampage.
You've never played it?
No, I've never heard of it, man.
Went from arcade to console to film, my friend.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Wait, you're
starring The Rock,
starring
baby.
Dwayne Rock The Rock Johnson.
Was a video game at
now,
in
your defense, though, Jake, my only introduction to Rampage was on the PlayStation 2.
Okay.
And I played.
Was that like World Tour or whatever?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Rampage World Tour. Rampage
I love
great,
that
man.
Game.
Well, what is it, like a kaiju game? What are you just fighting?
It's like, you're basically just a massive.
Just a monster, just destroying cities.
You pick between an ape,
giant
werewolf, a King Kong type figure, and a Godzilla type figure.
Yeah, the ape was my character. Yeah. It was amazing.
So, released in 86, it was one of the biggest hits in the arcades that year.
We used to have like a Rampage.
We did.
How hard is it? It's just not good. That's not practical to happen for it to come back again.
It's not practical for
it
to happen.
No,
even when we got it, it was cross country. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Wow, it was pretty rough when we got it.
It's also very heavy.
Yeah.
It's extremely heavy.
It's a 3-player game, dude.
It's huge.
It's massive.
Makes it even better.
3-player.
That's interesting. Okay.
Huh. And that's so weird to choose, I think, a 3-player.
It was fun, though.
Usually, you know,
ported to the NES in 88.
That's interesting.
My only problem, and they mention it here, my only problem with the NES version is you had no werewolf, and that was my guy.
Really?
Now, like in the arcade version, there's 768 levels. So everything just keeps repeating and getting harder.
Oh my god!
In the NES version, they do an ending.
Yeah, they nerf it.
Yeah, they nerf it. Pretty much. But yeah, another spectacular game in the arcade, and a really good NES port. Now,
and a horrible film.
Going back to horrible film. When you go back to what Chris said, like you could probably download this arcade version anywhere on your modern consoles, and it's going to play absolutely.
You could get it on your
perfect.
Phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably getting on your phone these days. You're right.
I actually think your graphing calculator. For those that have seen, what movie is it called? Wreck-It Ralph.
Rampage.
If anyone's seen Wreck-It Ralph, the movie, I know Wreck-It Ralph. Like, excuse me, the style of like his character Ralph, Wreck-It Ralph, is based on. On like a Donkey Kong Nintendo style like arcade.
Yeah, cap. Well, I thought it was off of Wrecking Crew or whatever the fucking.
I don't know, but
yeah.
His like if you ever like watch the playthrough of what like Wreck-It, there is no physical game. Wreck-It Ralph doesn't exist as a physical game. Mm-hmm. I know someone probably has modded the game.
Somebody has done a homebrew.
Yeah. There's some kind of homebrew, I'm sure. But when they created the game.
There's clips of it in the movie.
Yeah, his character climbs buildings and terrorizes like the inhabitants of the building, like civilians, by like breaking their windows in and stuff like that. Very similar to the way that the monsters do in Rampage. Yeah. Like they climb buildings and break them down and stuff. Such a good game.
Another game that they say is what we talked about before is Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong's NES release is very, very close to the arcade.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. Their version's great.
Is this the NES one on screen we're seeing
right now?
This
is, I believe this is the, it could be. I mean, I will pull up the Nintendo version now.
Because if it is, I mean, it's like almost identical, it looks like.
You know what's weird? I don't know if you guys feel the same way about Donkey Kong, but like, I feel like when I was younger, I would get past like the second, maybe even the third stage. I play now. I am god old.
Oh yeah, I'm so old.
I am so bad at Donkey Kong.
I'm really bad at that game.
Like, I can't even play it.
You're too focused on
actually.
Paying your bills,
as
you
the
know?
Donkey Kongs go on later and later, I get better and better. Huh. So like DK, terrible. DK Junior, a little better. DK 3, I'm good.
I suck.
DK 3 is
so good. So this is the NES version on screen now. That looks pretty good.
That looks pretty solid. It looks pretty much the same.
Yeah, it looks pretty much the same.
Save the Princess.
Looks really, really good.
So we've been talking so far about the NES versions of all these games.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of these are looking pretty good. But I think we need to talk about either the Game & Watch versions or some of the game. Oh, now, the Game Boy versions, lot of these are actually pretty good. No, on the game.
You'd be surprised. Some of these games are horrible on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
I'm trying to think of one. Like Double Dragon.
Yeah,
look at
Double Dragon's awful.
Double
Nintendo.
Dragon
I'm sorry.
On Super Nintendo.
I don't think there's a good home console port of like, Double Dragon.
There isn't.
It's like they took the art
until
and then
like Xbox 360,
and like it's I don't even know how to describe it. The best the only word that comes to mind when
You're
I think of
Double
Dragon,
Dragon SNES
on SNES, yeah, Double Dragon on or maybe it was NES. I don't know.
The NES one's bad.
Oh my god, it's NES.
The only word I can relate it to is potato. That's what it looks. What it reminds me of. Reminds me of potato. Don't ask me why, but
potato.
It's just so.
This is
watered
version.
Down. And
so bad.
I know we've discussed this before. Mm-hmm. We've discussed Double Dragon before. It's horrible.
Yeah,
it looks so bad.
And you know what's crazy is this: the year this was released on the NES. We've talked about this. This is the third best-selling game year for the NES.
That is
behind only Super Mario Bros. 2 and Zelda 2.
That's a prop to Double Dragon right there.
Mm.
The port's so
I know
bad.
I don't know which game is worse.
Double Dragon and Battletoads did a ensemble game on Super Nintendo. I did play that, which was very fun.
Okay, so we're bringing up the Game Boy, and Seamus is trying to look for some stuff to talk about with that. One of my favorites, and half the reason I brought it up, is the Donkey Kong game on original Game Boy is really good because it starts as typical, like the first Donkey Kong level or whatever, And then after that, I think there's like 99 levels in it, and they're all different. So the original one, not like the Donkey Kong Land or whatever, but he goes, or it goes through, and it's all
black
like different levels. Yeah, on the original Game Boy. It goes through all
Game
different
Color.
Levels,
I mean,
and it comes up with like new levels, and there's a save feature in it.
So you can keep playing
and keep going. It's a really good game.
I've never seen this.
It's a really good game. I just bought one because I played it on like the 3DS or something. I got it, but I just bought the original cartridge.
This is one of the games you played as a kid, and then it just came back here. It does look
interesting. It hurts my eyes a little bit being black and white.
It looks like they've basically transformed it into a Mario Brothers game.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, actually.
It looks more like the Wario Land or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
That.
It actually has the key pickup animation that Mario Brothers
That has. Mario 2 has.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot more like
it's got the bonus from Super Mario Bros. 2
on the actual handheld, I think.
Yeah, well, it's also blown up like crazy on this TV.
It looks like it's got the bonus from Super Mario Bros. 2.
Oh yeah, it's almost
yeah. But you see all these
like
levels
RPG-like.
And like stages and stuff. Yeah,
it almost is like a pseudo RPG.
I'm sorry, I don't think this game existed.
Me neither. It actually looks like something I'd play.
It's a good game, and it has a save feature in it, so you can just keep going through
this,
and stuff.
This looks like a Mario game.
It's exactly like a Mario game. Yeah, Donkey Kong on the Game Boy.
Huh.
Pretty impressive what they were. They didn't just dump it onto a Game Boy cartridge.
It's not even. This is definitely not like a pure port.
No, it's not even.
It's like probably the farthest thing from it.
Which is surprising because it's just called Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I would almost say
it doesn't have any other name.
Better?
I like when he goes by the ladder, takes the key, throws it above him, and then,
climbs up.
It back up.
Can't say it's better. It's not really true to form. It's kind of just a different game altogether.
Well, it's different, yeah.
I like the fireballs that have to be labeled as oil, so you know that they're burning.
Right.
Yeah, super interesting.
Yeah, I actually have to change the battery on the one that I bought, but
okay,
whatever. I have to find a new one.
What else you got?
I mean, some of the more typical. So the Game & Watch ones are interesting because the Game & Watch is the LCD handhelds that Nintendo put out.
It's like the Tiger.
Everyone says that the Game & Watches are better than the Tigers because the Tigers are junk.
Yeah, I mean,
but everyone likes the Game & Watches better, but...
Didn't they just do a re-release of the Game & Watch?
They did.
Recently, like within
they
the last
re-released
few years?
Super Mario.
It was like
Bros.
Built-in games, right?
Yeah, and Zelda, I think. But it's completely different. It just has the same form factor, and it has like a new LCD screen in it.
It's more similar to like the straight up Tiger Electronics, where it's like each game is kind of their own different.
Yeah. Right.
I remember them being released and collectors going crazy.
What you were saying with the... Yeah, I think you could still buy them at like Walmart or something.
Yep.
They're not super expensive. Mm-hmm. But so what you were saying, Sean, with the DS being that bold take with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out being
the
DS thing. If you scroll down, I think it's the Donkey Kong Game & Watch is very similar in design to the DS.
Interesting.
It has two screens.
Is it top of
there it is.
Oil Panic,
Donkey Kong, Mickey and Donald have
never
two
seen
screens.
That before.
Controls
Actually,
on
you
the
know
bottom.
What? I have seen this before.
Yeah.
Didn't we have one of these in... Oh, no. Maybe I'm making that up.
We may have.
I don't know.
We might have.
Wow.
I've seen them for sale. Oh, and there's a Zelda. I think that one's really rare.
Wow,
But now these ones are interesting. The Mario Brothers are interesting because look,
they're side by side.
Yeah, right. The screens are side by
side. Those almost remind me of like a Pokédex.
Yeah,
like
yeah, right.
Pokédex. Yeah.
But so I'm gonna play for you guys real quick some Game & Watch Popeye.
Ooh, all right. Let's see this.
So this has got nothing to do with the arcade at all.
No.
So some of them were completely different games altogether because you couldn't really master anything like that with the LCD screen.
Yeah. This is also, I mean, the thing is, I kind of like these games, but playing them, this is another thing, is these are almost ports because the Game Boy had a whole separate set of ports for these games, just the Game & Watch galleries.
Right.
And I honestly like playing them on those systems better because the visuals are just so much better. Because playing it on the original system, like, you've got the burn-in, and it's not super bright, and it's kind of hard to see. It's not terrible, but if you play it on, like, a Game Boy or something, like, watching this video, it's, like, a lot nicer looking. It's a lot clearer, and he's probably playing it on either like an emulator or like, you know, like a virtual console thing, because you can get them on like the DS and stuff, the DSi.
Where they actually have, like,
yeah, like I have Mario Cement Factory, I think, on the 3DS, and it's like it emulates the graphics of the segments,
the actual segments within the screen,
right? So, yeah, but it's a modern screen.
Yeah, it's like a screen within the screen, but it's on like an LCD.
It's pretending to be an LCD, like this TV. Like it's pretending.
I've never had a Game & Watch, but I've always wondered. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of really want one, but honestly, I feel like I'd rather play it.
Yeah,
imagine that in arcade
on a modern thing. It's, yeah,
it's that would be really interesting.
It'd be a cool arcade game.
Yeah,
honestly,
it'd be
a cool design.
It'd be something that like it sounds nice to have, but then once you actually have it in hand and you play it, you're like,
yeah.
You
know,
like, people have
some of them are expensive too
for the Game & Watch and for the Tiger Electronics ones. They've backported them.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what I was talking about.
Dreamcast discs and stuff like that.
Well,
so, like,
there's
you have,
official,
like, the Castlevania LCD Chronicles, which is basically all the Castlevania Tiger games.
There's official Nintendo versions, too, for the Game Boy.
Okay.
Game & Watch galleries on the Game Boy.
Blackjack. This sounds like something Chris
Let's
would
play. Go, baby.
On the Game & Watch.
On Blackjack. The Atari 2600?
Yeah,
does that beat the Atari version? I don't know.
I don't
we'll
think
have
so.
To see.
I don't think anything can beat the Atari version.
No, Blackjack on Atari.
Balloon Fight.
You got
LCD.
Vegas rules and home rules. Come on,
Balloon Fight was arcade, right?
Arcade and was NES, one of the original black boxes.
What arcade ports are there to the Game & Watch? Is there a list somewhere? Albeit probably not that large.
Well, DK, Mario,
DK.
Well, yeah,
Balloon Fight, Mario, Donkey Kong Jr.,
Manhole,
Mario Brothers.
Mario Cement Factory is actually a really good game, and I don't know if there's another version of it. I'm sure there has to be.
There might be a modern port.
Yeah, I know there's modern versions of it, but I don't know where that game came from.
I think it came from Game & Watch.
Okay, they just came up with a new game for it.
I think they did.
Because it's Mario Cement Factory.
Mario Cement Factory.
Did the Game & Watch come out with their own original games like that, though?
Some of them, I think so.
I would imagine so, because they probably...
Like, I think this one is.
They're probably, dynamic enough that they can come out on the Game & Watch, but not dynamic enough to be on, a console. You know what I mean?
That makes sense, yeah. So, it kind of fits the Game & Watch.
It fits it well, yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is just such a typical, it feels like an arcade game, you know, where you have all the different levers that you're pushing down to one level, and then you have to push it down to the truck and stuff, but... I don't know if this is a game that exists on anything else.
Mm. On Super Smash Bros., that is the legit character for Mr. Game.
Yeah, Mr. Game & Watch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he does a lot of different moves from, he does the
flipping the burgers with the.
Right, the burger flipping.
And he has what's that? It's like a.
He does, it's like the sprayer from. Donkey Kong 3, I think.
Yeah, from DK3, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he whacks people with a frying pan.